is not quickened except it die. The word quickened means made alive, given life to. That which so never can come alive until it dies. Okay? And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain, it may chance of wheat, or some other grain. But God giveth the bodies that please Him, and to every seed His own body. Jump down to the 44th verse. He said, it's sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. And what I want to point out is, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And I know many times it's very difficult to differentiate as to what is natural and what is spiritual. But turn me, I got one more scripture I want to get to you. I think it's 1 Corinthians 2 and 5. In the 10th verse, he said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Excuse me, talking about spiritual things and things of the kingdom. Unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know, might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also are we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. I'm so scratched up in my Bible, I can't read it. Hold up, Mr. Man. See if I make it out now. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. All right? We're gaining ground. Everybody say amen. I'm just laying a little foundation here, and then we'll talk about it. He said in Galatians, the sixth chapter and the sixth chapter and the 15th verse. He said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. I had another scripture down here I wanted to read before. I'll just kind of quote it to you. You know what it is, and that way we don't have to try to run all these things down. He said, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you come forth as a new creature. We like to think of the physical heart, because the only way we can judge from the natural is what we hear, taste, see, feel, or smell. That's the judgment of the natural man. That's why it became critical that you be born again. But when you were born again by water, by baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving the Holy Ghost, repenting of your sins and coming clean with God, and you've done these things, you became a new creature. You are a new creature, a new creation. Let me give an example of Paul, of Peter. When Jesus said, "Who do people say I am?" Oh, he said, "Some say John the Baptist, and the other." He said, "But who do you say I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed art thou, Peter, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you." But I'm going to tell you something very important for us. Is my Father revealed it to you. It was dropped into your spirit. You didn't go back into Scripture and dig it out somewhere. You didn't hunt around and peck around and try to put stuff together to make it say that. He said, but that light from God was dropped right into your spirit. And you spoke the right thing. Oh, say amen. It's the spirit that is life. Everything natural brings death. If you're judging people from the natural, it will bring death to you and them. So you can't judge. Look on down. 3 verses later, Jesus said, "I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be taken by men. They're going to crucify me there." Oh, Peter jumped up. He said, "Bless God, we ain't going to let that happen. We're going to look after you. We owe body God. We're going to look." Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." So you've got a living contrast. 3 verses above it, he said, "God showed you that." Now he's got a devil. I tell you why. Because of the new birth of the Spirit of God, the indwelling Holy Ghost that was going to come into his life and permanently abide there. The same way he's done for you. The Spirit of God actually dwells in you. Amen? So when you are baptized, you become a new creation. Everybody say, "I am a new creation." You don't act like you believe it. Yep. See? Amen. That's what he meant. But he was not talking about the physical man. He was talking about the spirit man. How many of you know Jesus said, "All the words I speak to you, they are spirit in their life"? Well, how could you discern them except by the Spirit? You can read them. That's why religion, that's why there's probably 4,000 or 5,000 different religions in this country all reading the same Bible. Because they're discerning it after the hearing of the ear and what their senses tell them. It's the truth. Yeah, simple truth. What their senses discern for them. And what happens to us is we died and were buried with Him in baptism, and we come forth to a new life, and everybody thought their gray hair would have turned black again. And everybody thought, well, they're losing all the hair, will grow back. I had one preacher said, "Clothes I wear..." Well, I don't tell you, that's the foolish. But he said, "My clothes don't even go get bad." I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. But beside the point. The fact of the matter is, the only thing that was renewed was your spirit and the ability that God placed within you to become sons and daughters of God. That's what happened. He placed that spirit within you to make you a part of the bride of Christ. When Jesus Christ came to Israel searching fruit among the people, he said he found none. He found more fruit among the Gentiles than he did among the Jews. Look at the little woman at the well, a Syrophoenician woman. She was part Jew and part Gentile, and she had no idea about spiritual things. But when spirit was revealed to her, she took a hold of it. She didn't hesitate 1 minute. She looked at what he'd done. She said, "You are the Messiah. That's what he's supposed to do when he comes." She knew what it said. But when you approach it from the natural side, you can never attain spiritual things. I'm talking about spiritual gifts and things of that nature that ought to work among the people. That we see very little, scant little, or nothing. And it should be here prevalent. The blind eye should be opened. There should not be one sick person among us. Say, yes, Brother Mim. I know I don't go according to theology. But very seldom does anything Jesus ever taught go according to theology. Let me read you a verse of Scripture in Matthew. You believe that Jesus, He didn't come along as the Son of David or the Son of Man. He didn't come along and have a lot of opinions. Opinions are dime a dozen. You can get them everywhere. That's what most people preach. They think they go to the podium and preach this and thus saith the Lord. Let me put a little word in for you so you can catch this. He said it pleased God that through the what? Oh, no, He didn't say that. Not foolishness. Why would He use such a word? No, it pleased God through the wisdom of preaching. That's what preachers discern it as. But it ain't. Well, I don't want to go into that. I'm going to stay with my bed. My thought. Please God, through the foolishness of preaching, men might be saved. Amen. I've heard preachers. Well, let me give you a thought. Turn with me to Matthew. We'll read another verse of Scripture today. Matthew 12. In the 34th verse, He said a few words here that I want to try to get you thinking on for a few minutes. Now, you forgive me, I'm not quite as agile as I used to be, but I'm improving every day. I gain ground every day. Amen. I'll be bouncing like a rubber ball here in another month or so. Because these things are exciting to me. They are my life. I was telling the wife the other day, I was reading through some, I was going over some figures for, we're building an addition. I wrote all these figures in, and I right in the middle of it, I stopped and I wrote down some scripture in the middle of all that. Then I kept on writing my figures. But I never realized I even done it. Isn't that something? That just astounds me. Amen. It's life to me. I don't know what it is to other people. It's life to me. When I was in trouble and desperate, couldn't help myself, He came and helped me. And He brought me out and He established me. And He gave me a sound mind. And He put me in the right direction. And ain't the last verse. When I commit sin, He forgives me. When I'm in trouble, He delivers me. If I have a problem, He takes care of me. If I just walk straight and follow Him, I'll arrive at the place He wants me to be. Amen. You will too. All right, He said these words. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Everybody say, speaks. What you say, that's words. Everybody say, out of the mouth comes words. Yeah. If you're out of the mouth of Jesus, didn't come just words. He said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what my Father says. You believe that right? In other words, He didn't add nothing to it. If the Father said it, He said it. If the Father revealed it, that's what He revealed. The things He taught, the Beatitudes, were thus saith God to Him. And He spoke those words. They're absolute. They are final. There is nothing that can be added or taken away from it. He said it forever. You believe that? All right. Everybody smiling? All right. You got Brother Boyd smiling a little bit. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. How can a man out of the treasure of his heart bring forth good things? You tell me, how does he do that? Could somebody give me an answer? Yeah. Okay. But he brings it out by the words that you speak. What you say is what makes the difference. Huh? Well, does that make no sense to you? What you say makes a difference. A man said, well, Brother Mim, Lord, I had a man call me a liar one time, and God checked me, me and him both. I said, you were healed 2,000 years ago. He said, bless God, that ain't right. I'm still sick. I'm going to tell you something, be fair with you. Everything that Jesus Christ taught was not hearsay. It was absolute. It's not something you can say, well, I believe this or I don't believe that. Don't get in that rut. All things become possible to him that believeth. Let's start believing and to keep believing. Not stop believing and say, I don't feel better. Feeling better, your feelings have nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. And people come to me, you pray me and say, I don't feel better. Yeah, I got it. Amen. He said, well, I don't feel no better. I never read no scripture like that. I saw, amen. See, we like to go by that old idiom, well, if the Lord does it, it's done. If you don't, it don't. And that's what the man told me. He said, he didn't do it. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ established these things. Brother Mims didn't establish these. I'm not the one who wrote the Bible. Had nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, I'm ignorant of most of it. But let me tell you something. I know that what he said is the absolute truth. He said if a man builds his house on the sand, it's going to sink. But if you'll build it on my saints and on my word, he said it'll stand against every trial, every fire, and every flood, and every earthquake, or anything else, it'll stand. I said it will stand. Amen. When David read he printed the 91st Psalm. He talked in that psalm about he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Let me tell you, when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, you entered into a secret place of the Most High God. And he dwells right in your spirit, not tomorrow, but right now. He's not coming to do it. He's there now. Amen. He hears every prayer you pray. Yes, he does. He hears you when you pray in direct unbelief to his word. He hears all that. But he also hears you like he did Abraham, who called those things that were not because they were. He become like God. Those things were not. He said he was 90 years old, an utter impossibility. He said, I am the Father. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah. He said, you're an old man, decrepit by dead. Your wife Sarah can't even have children no more. Past time of life. He said, ain't got nothing to do with it. He said, there was a promise made to me by the word that come from God. A word that came from him. And he told me that I would be the father of many nations. And he said, I'm going to have a son. His name is going to be Isaac. He is going to be the genealogy that runs all this down for me. They said, you're as crazy as a cockroach. There's no way that's ever going to happen. You talk about the virgin birth. I mean, there's just so much there that they said, well, God can't. God, he do anything he wants to. Amen. He don't come around and ask me every time he want to do something. He does it, and then I have to fit the mold. Whatever's there is what I have to fit. But the things that he declared in this word, there is no going back on it. It is the absolute. There is no other way. None other way. Only through his word. But if we cannot receive it as the word, if we got our own ideas and our own theories about how it ought to work, and everybody tries to live in that capacity, you'll never advance another inch from where you're at today. Every word that he said is true. You believe all things work together for good? Oh, come on, say amen. You know it's the truth. Yeah. It works for good, and it works to bring you somewhere. People say, well, Brother Ned, I had a car wreck. I know. I was thinking about Brother Jacoby and his accident there. You learned something from it, didn't you? I'm sure you did. Amen. But it's to bring you somewhere. Your faith is going to be tried. God don't come down and try it. He lets your mouth try it for you. Let you run your mouth, then you got to recant and back up and redo. And you know how y'all, all of us are like that. So nothing to it. We did this the way it is. But what we do, we have an advocate. We have a way out that Christ has provided for us. And it's through his blood. He said these words. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart, he brings forth evil things. Good, he said good and evil coming out of the same heart. Or not be. When God filled you with the Holy Ghost and he moved in your life and you were baptized in Jesus' name, a new creature took, something happened in your spirit that cannot be written on a board somewhere or printed in a book. Something transpired in your spirit when you turned and called upon the name of the Lord in sincerity. Something happened in your spirit. You became a new creature in your spirit. The potential of everything you ever desired or ever wanted to know is anchored right there in the Holy Ghost. That's why he said you don't have need to man teach you anything, because it's contained right within the Spirit of God that's within you. I was thinking the other day, I had written some notes. I was reading back through them. Notes like I wrote 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And some of the thoughts and the things that I'd written down there. And there were things that agreed completely with the things that Brother Jackson taught and Brother Branham both taught. I didn't get it out of a book. I got it through the Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that does that. He got nothing to do with me. It's something that God said he would do, and he does. He will do it if you let him. But you got to yield yourself to him. You can't let flesh get in the way. You got to have a hunger, a desire, and what is that desire? A compelling hunger, an intense and compelling hunger for the things of God. How many of you have an intense, compelling hunger for the things of God? David, in his discourse, he said, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. We're just talking to Brother about having a cough. We both coughed for two months. Or I did. But what you do is you stand your ground and you tell the devil he's a liar. And that Jesus Christ healed you 2,000 years ago. Hey, just say what he said. That ain't my idea of it. That's not my theory. It had nothing to do with theory. It's what he said. It's what Jesus said. Yep. Man said, well, rather than just spiritual healing. No. Physical healing. Luke, he said that it might be fulfilled. All the people who were sick round about came and he healed them all. He said that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Mine went blank. He said, by whose stripes you're healed. See, I got it. You didn't think I could do that, did you? By whose stripes you were healed. You believe you were healed? See, it's hard to do when you're hurting in every joint. But if you look at it from the natural side, you'll never confess what he said to be true. And that's the difference. I remember, I could tell you, one time I come out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and had pneumonia. And when I got home, I walked 7 days in the yard. The Lord come to me on the seventh day, and he spoke to me in a voice behind me. I don't know if the Lord made an angel or something. But he said, I'm going to heal you of this condition, but if you abuse your body, he said, you're going to die. And instantly it was gone. I had arthritis real bad. When I was about 65 or somewhere along in there, 67 something. But anyway, make it short. I prayed about it for 8 years. And I stood on that scripture. He said, by whose stripes you're healed. I stood on that. I held it right tight. And one day, I walking up a little dock I had there in South Alabama, over in the edge of Florida. And I said, Lord, I appreciate you take these symptoms away. And from that minute on, I got better and better and better. I don't have a drop of it nowhere in my body. But it's when you maintain that what he said is true, when you maintain that, then there's no limit to what you can do and what can be accomplished. Amen. He said these words, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of the judgment. I don't want to get on idle words. I don't see no clock up here. Brother, where are your clocks at? He said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of the judgment. People think that just saying words doesn't make a difference. Saying words is so important to the Coca-Cola company that they pay $6 million for 30 seconds at the football game. So don't tell me words don't have some significance. They do. The words that I speak to you, you come here to hear my words tonight. The words that I speak to you, they will either be spirit to you in life, or I can throw the other way and pronounce death on you. And you'd go away feeling so bad, you couldn't hardly hold your head up after I got through with you. Maybe I've been like that. Go to a place where you're feeling pretty good when you go, but when you get through, you almost need to go take a shower. I mean, it's just bad. It's not good at all. But it's dealing in the spirit. The words that you speak become creative power to you. You can either speak life or you can speak death. The power of life and death is in the tongue. How many of you believe that? All right. Now I know these may be kind of rambling, wild sort of sounding to you, but be patient with me. He said, every idle word was good. For by thy words, you'll be justified. Everybody say, by my words. What did he say about the redeemed? He said, let the redeemed just hum and be real quiet and meditate all the time. No, no, no. Hey, what did he say? He said, let the redeemed say so. Something about when you pray. You ask God to do something. If you speak it out loud, it makes a difference. The word meditate. I looked it up in the Jewish, how they meditated. You know how they meditated? Like David did. They would meditate. They would think on his scripture. And then they'd say, oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, glory to God. And God said it, and it's right, hallelujah. And they'd meditate, what they call meditation. Here, meditation, everybody is real quiet. Nobody mumbled a word. You don't dare say nothing because you interrupt their meditation. Meditation is something that you speak out loud. It's something that's in your soul, in your heart, that burns in you. That praise God is so strong that you can't help but say, "Woo!" every once in a while. That's true meditation. Yeah. Yeah, that's how you do it. You know, when Jesus came down, he was groaning about this. That was prayer. That wasn't, he was meditating. He was saying, "Oh, God, thank you. Oh!" Things like that. People say, "Oh, he didn't do it." I believe he did. Because they recorded it. They said he groaned. But what's groaning? Have you ever heard any groaning lately? Not keeping it in, they heard him. When he was meditating, that groan, when that groan was running through his body, they heard him. Now be careful in your meditation, somebody might hear you. And if they did, that'd be awful. He wouldn't be meditating like English words. It's not what it meant. That's meditation. That's, Paul said, if there's anything, a good report, a good song, a good melody, good something to encourage you, he said, think on these things. Why do you think he said you become a new creature? He said old things have passed away and all things become new to you. That's where he said the law no longer has any power over you because of the blood of Christ. That releases you from the responsibility of what your flesh might do. You understand that? That's what Paul was talking about. When he said, except a grain of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. Except you fall onto this word and die, you'll abide alone. What happens is, we come and got baptized and he got the seed in the ground, but we just would not turn loose of that husk. Let me know what a grain of seed does. You take wheat and you put it in the ground, that wheat don't come back up. That ain't the wheat that comes up. It dies and goes back to the dust. But the life that is in the wheat is what shows forth. Amen? In the same way, in our spiritual walk with God, the life of Christ has to resurrect and live in you. And your flesh, your natural, has to go by. It has to go away. It has to just get in the background there so far that, praise God, there comes a day when you can say it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Amen. All right? Let me just hear you. All right? He said, for by thy mouth thou be justified, and by thy word thou shalt be condemned. Let me read it again. For what did I scratch this thing up so bad? I can make it out. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. If you're going to say anything, say what Christ said. I like that song ladies singing about having the devil's a liar. He's a liar. He lies about everything. He'll tell you God don't mean what he said. But people, he means every word that he said. If you can wrap it up in your spirit, if you can pass beyond the natural and reach into the spiritual side of you and speak what he said, it's the absolute. I'll guarantee you things will change in your life. Where you have been sick, you'll get well. Where you have struggles, God will take them away. He'll give you the victory. But people, they want it like magic. That's why we have a prayer. We call everybody, and people think it's like magic. I don't feel any better. I just can't. You know, I didn't think God would do it anyway. And I felt, you know, I really. But when you get the natural man involved in it, it always dies. It kills him. You can't do that. He said, don't let an unstable man in his thoughts and his act, don't let an unstable man think he can receive anything. He can't. You have to be established and hold this word. That's where the knowledge comes from, out of this word. What you say makes a difference. Do you believe what Joshua said when the sun and the moon stood still made any difference? He didn't go up there and just hum around and say, well, I'd sure like for the sun not to shine. I mean, the sun keep on shining for a little while, and I'd be happy if it would do that. And said, oh, God, you're able to make it do it. No, he didn't do that. What he done, he took God at his word. God said, you go out and do. That's what Peter and John done when they raised the crippled man in the gate. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I've had a dozen people that said, well, what is the will of God? That is the will of God. That you go in the world and preach the gospel. Come on, can women preach? I don't want to get on that thing at this time. But I'm going to tell you something. You ladies, God leads you by the Spirit. You do what God wants you to do. Don't hesitate. Don't get the idea you won't do your husband wrong. I was thinking of that scripture where he said the time would come when women would rule and the children would be their oppressors. You know who said that? You look at your TV people now. 15, 18 years ago, there wasn't a woman preacher on the internet. I mean, on the TV thing. Now, there's dozens of them. And I, like I said, I'm not fussing. I'm thrilled that they proclaim the gospel and telling people they ought to repent and turn to Christ. I honor that. But beyond that, there's a flaw there. And the flaw has to be corrected. Time will do that. But the men can't do that. He said, by your words, you'll be justified. And by your words, you'll be condemned. When Israel sent the spies into the land, those men went over there with integrity, and they were good men. They were men of renown. They weren't just a bunch of old men that they put together and sent over there, but they were men of renown. They were men who were leaders in their groups, in their tribes, and they brought these men up there, and they said, "We want you to go look and tell us what you see in the land." Those men went over there with a full intent of reporting just as accurately as they could from the hearing of the ear and the seeing of the eye. They did not bring back and tell them Jews a lie. Brother Frank, they come back and told them the truth just exactly as they saw it. They said, don't kid yourself. There's giants there. We saw them with our eyes. And they think we're able to go. But the difference between the report of Joshua and Caleb and those men, was they looked at it from the spiritual side. God said, I give you the land. The time has come. Go in and possess it. They said, we're well able. Don't think this body of people is not well able to have the gifts of God operating in their midst. Don't think that we're not able to see the sick healed and the blind eyes open and the deaf ears unstopped. We're able to see those things. We've got to be willing. We've got to be obedient. We've got to look to what He said in His Word and put our absolute confidence in it. Preaching one time in Kansas. No, in Kentucky. I was preaching in western Kentucky. And I couldn't see the first row of benches. I was sick. I virtually was blind. I couldn't see. and run a high temperature. And I kept telling the devil, I said, you can't make me sick. But he did, up to a great extent. But my thought was, you can't hold me. I know that. I know by whose stripes I was healed. And it took about 2 weeks. The Lord come to me, and he healed me again. He took it off. He'd already done the healing. He just took the symptoms away. It's all he done. Amen? How many of us still here? You are a new creature. Won't you keep that in mind? If I have anything more to say in this meeting, I'll finish my thought. I don't want to take a whole night, but I want you to understand that you're bought with a price. Don't come and tell God how sorry you are. He knows how sorry you were. He got a book about you. He knows all about you. And you don't have to come to people always apologizing to God. Well, God, I ain't worthy. You are worthy. If you wasn't worthy, he wouldn't have purchased you. And it ain't your worthiness, no, as his. He's one. He made. You're made by his word, words of Jesus Christ. You're made the righteousness of God. Man, that's pretty high elevation. I'm telling you, that kind of gets your mind going, doesn't it? Yeah. And how can you ever think that you're anything less than what he said you are? I'm expecting a prize for this message. All right, everybody smiling real big? All right. Understand what I said? Okay, I hope I haven't misled any of you. But your words will either elevate you or they'll condemn you. Say what Jesus said. If you say, well, I won't be like Brother Branham, don't do that. Be like Jesus. If you want an example, be like him. Say, well, I want to be like this brother. No, be like him. Search Christ out and be like him. Make your thoughts and your actions and your words, make them be like him. How many of you know, he said, be ye followers. And I'll try to close with this. He said, be ye followers of Christ as dear children. Isn't that a strange statement? Oh, he said, be ye followers of Christ as dear children. How many of you got children in here? Stick your hand. Let me see. That pretty well covered most of it. How many of you, ladies, remember your little girls, when they come along, when they got about 3 years old, they're getting in your high heels? No, y'all don't remember that, do you? Huh? And they wanted to put, if you wore makeup, they want to get that makeup on, too. If your hair funny, they wear their funny. If you had a limp, they had a limp. Amen. If you had a Band-Aid on you, they wanted one. Well, that's the truth. You remember little boys, same way. First thing, you was a hunter, whatever, they wanted your boots on. They couldn't get both foot in one boot, both feet in one boot. But they want to get any boots on, they want to be like you, wear your clothes, wear your old big coat, your hat. Want to smell like you, look like you, act like you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, you've got to imitate God. You have to imitate Christ. But you have to do it as dear children. Ignorant of a lot of it. I said, you're ignorant of a lot of it. But you still walk after him. You still act like him. You still say the things he says. You still act the way he does. You still make the quotes he made. You still say what he said. Amen? Ah. I thought you'd like that. All right, I'm gonna quit. Brother Boyd, come on. Where I said I better sing a song. I got one. I like this song that Andre Crouch sung. And a young man wrote this song. the blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, that's the truth. And it flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never its power. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, God, for a time that we can assemble in peace and confidence in you and confidence in your word. Lord, we uphold your word to be right above everything that we hear taste, Father, in this natural life. Your word is true. It is spirit and it is life. I don't have to understand it. I want to put your shoes on. I want to wear the same cloak you wore. I want to act and do the same things like you do. I want to be what you are. I long to do that. God, you said, except we become as little children, we cannot partake of it. Help us, O God, that we can walk in the light. Oh, let's walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where dewdrops of mercy shine all around us by day and by night. It's Jesus, the light of the world. Sing that chorus again. Oh, let's walk in.